This is Ken Stringfellow of the Posies, Big Star, etc., and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now. WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Starbuck of Columbiaville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Captain is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Catskill Village Board member Peter Grassi Jr. said crews from the Peckman Industries are expected to finish repaving the parking lot at Dutchman's Landing this week. Grassi also met with Jefferson Cafe, the new tenant of Dutchman's Gallery, and representatives of Hershey's Ice Cream to review the details of leasing the galley, he said. Grassi said, and I quote, "It's a beautiful park and needed to be upgraded for sure," end quote. Dutchman's Gallery was closed for the 2019 summer season. Village President Vincent Seely said, and I quote, "The galley is back by popular demand, and we are very excited about its reopening. We are making a targeted investment in our parks and outdoor facilities to give our residents, who have been stuck inside for over 7 weeks, a place to get out and get active in a safe environment," end quote. Operating the galley during the pandemic is likely to create issues, Grassi said, but he is confident Jefferson Cafe is up to the challenge. Grassi said, and I quote, "They should be okay with window service," end quote. Grassi said, in addition to serving ice cream, the galley will sell hot dogs, hamburgers, and French fries, and could be open for business by the end of May. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The city of Hudson is seeking public comment on the accessibility of curb ramps and sidewalks in the city. A form is available online where the public can describe the problems they know of and submit images of any problem spots. According to a statement released by the city, officials will use the information submitted to respond to requests and document those responses, as well as enforce the obligations of property owners to maintain and repair pedestrian-level walkways consistent with local ordinances. The data received will be maintained by the city. In addition to accessing the online form, the public can contact ADA Coordinator Michael Chimides at 518-828-5866. The public input process is part of a larger effort to increase accessibility in Hudson. In the past few months, the city has created an ADA policy and ADA grievance procedure and issued a RFP for an ADA architect. And a call box has been installed in front of City Hall. Read more about this story at cityofhudson.org. Chris Sommerfeld is reporting for the New York Daily News. New York election officials announced May 6 they will appeal a federal court ruling requiring them to hold the state's Democrat presidential primary. The appeal will kickstart what could be a lengthy court battle. The commissioners and co-chairs of the State Board of Elections filed a brief in Manhattan Federal Court stating they will bring the case to the U.S. Court of Appeals with the intention of canceling the June 23rd primary. The Board of Elections last month canceled the primary, citing public health reasons, saying it would be dangerous to hold as planned because of the coronavirus pandemic. Former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang filed a lawsuit over the cancellation. Federal Court Judge Annalisa Torres ruled May 5th the primary had to be reinstated. Torres found the cancellation was unconstitutional and could set a chilling precedent for future elections. The judge also noted the state has already taken public health precautions, including allowing all New Yorkers to vote by mail. And you can read the full story in the Daily News. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello! Today is Thursday, the first Thursday of the month, actually, which means the cluster bomb of a phone call we call the Fingularity Radio Program airs tonight on WGXE at 7 p.m. Okay, enough shameless promotion and on to the numbers. Low 40s this morning, better than the 30s we have been seeing. Blue skies help push that temperature up to 63 degrees by 3 p.m. This afternoon, near dark, light rain is expected. Tomorrow morning, a low of 41 might give some people false hope that spring is on a roll. The day has a high in the mid-50s around 3 p.m. After that, rain enters the area again and temperatures begin to slide. Make sure that tomorrow you bring in or cover your plants. Also, bringing in firewood early in the day is a good idea. Saturday morning will be below freezing and snow is expected. Pollen levels will be medium today, high on Friday and low on Saturday. The next high tides will be at 3:36 p.m. and tomorrow at 3:59 a.m. The next low tides will be at 9:59 a.m. and at 10:12 p.m. Water temperature will be 55 degrees today. Sunset today will be at 7:41 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:42 a.m. Looking way up, we see surprise brightening and outgassing of Comet Swan. Some astronomers speculate it may be breaking up, but others point out that it may not necessarily be the case. And we will be keeping an eye on it. Five near-Earth objects are expected today, the largest of which will be 282 meters wide. Solar wind speed is currently 321 kilometers per second at 5.8 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1. Quiet. There have been 5 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the Better Weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Kayla Harris is reporting for the Times Union. Lucy and Champlin, a spokesperson for the State Office of Court Administration, said May 7th the state court system will make an exception and allow new filings under the Child Victims Act in the coming weeks, even as other non-essential court filings remain frozen during the pandemic. Champlin said in an email, and I quote, "We will not deny those litigants the ability to file," end quote. The decision comes as survivors and advocates increasingly call to extend the Act's one-year look-back period that is set to expire in August. Chaplin points out that any extension of the window could require executive or legislative action. More than 1,700 lawsuits have been filed by people previously time-barred from lodging claims against their alleged sexual abusers. However, court filings were paused in March as the coronavirus pandemic effectively shut down the state court system. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo signed an order in March suspending statutes of limitations during the state of emergency, but it is uncertain whether the moratorium also applies to the Child Victims Act one-year window. You can read the full story in the Times Union. The American Red Cross continues to encourage healthy people to make appointments to donate blood or platelets to ensure blood remains readily available for patients who still rely on transfusions. There are 5 blood drives scheduled to take place in Greene and Columbia counties in the coming weeks. A drive will be held at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday, May 8th at Taconic Hills High School in Caryville and the Catskill Elks Lodge Hall in Catskill from noon to 6 p.m. on Monday, May 11th at Palatine Park and Youth Activity Building in Germantown from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday, June 6th. At the Chatham Firehouse in Chatham from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, June 10th, and at the Hudson Elks Lodge on Harry Howard Avenue from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. on Thursday, June 11th. More details are available at redcross.org. Melanie Lekachevich is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media. The Coymanstown Board has imposed a 6-month moratorium on the review of solar energy projects, effective immediately. The board conducted a public hearing April 23rd to receive comment on the plan via telephone due to the restrictions imposed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Following the hearing, Local Law No. 3 was approved unanimously, imposing a temporary moratorium, thereby giving town officials the time needed to put a solar law on the books. Town Supervisor George McHugh said, and I quote, "This law calls for 6 months, but it could be shorter depending on how long it takes to get a solar law in place. I don't think it's going to take us that long. I think it's going to take much less time. We've already got a good start on a template for a solar law," end quote. Resident Tripp Powell has proposed building a solar farm with the company Summit Ridge Energy at 87 Bronx Road. The project was first proposed in January 2019 on Summit Ridge Energy, so Summit Ridge Energy requested a waiver because the project was already under consideration. McHugh recommended to Powell the company's request a partial waiver, which the town board approved. Partial waiver allows Summit Ridge Energy to send the plans out for review by an engineering firm and for a legal review as well, but nothing more. A solar law could be in place as soon as late May or at the very latest by late June, McHugh said. You can read the full story at Ravenna News Herald. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Here is a preview of the feature programs coming up on WGXC 90.7 FM on Friday, May 8th, 2020. WGXE broadcasts Democracy Now! Live at 8 a.m., hosted by Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. Then you can keep up to date with the local news, interviews with community leaders and personalities, a rundown of public meetings, local and regional events with weather updates on the WGXE morning show at 9 and the afternoon show at 4 p.m. And at 3 p.m., WGXE Live, Acoustic Mirror, with Jeremy Roy and Kelly Ruth. A live concert radio broadcast pairing musicians with sound artists presenting works in progress that blur the lines of music and noise. To view the full broadcast schedule, make a one-time donation, or become a sustaining donor, visit our website at WGXC.org.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High, and I am also from Hudson.
I am Lena. I am a student of MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
Hi, my name is AJ. I go to school at Lily Avery. I'm 9 years old, and I live in Elizabeth.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yes. Books we love, books we hate,
bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. But how's everyone doing? How are you feeling about Great. The news with about school being held off? I know for our Bound by Books crew, we have both Amelia and Mashuda, our seniors at Hudson High School. So I know that that's a tough yep. situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you all feeling about your online learning and this crazy time we're living in?
Meh. All right.
Not so good about it. I don't like it.
I think that it is meh. Definitely.
Meh?
Meh, as in most exotic. What's a H word for prison? Whatever that is, then that is definitely the last thing.
An H word for what?
Prison.
Prison?
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay.
Home arrest? That could be one word, maybe. I think it's two words. I don't know what's exotic about
prison.
It.
Prison. That's it. So that is it's the most exotic. Prison. Meh.
Hmm.
That's just how I feel about it because I am not into this at all. I am a sociable person and I do not like this.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm glad I get to connect with you all each week.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So there was something that my family was passing around on my mother's phone yesterday, and I asked if they could read it aloud to me because sometimes they don't give me enough time to read it. And so it said an almanac predicted the coronavirus, and it said there will be a infection or an illness that will happen in 2020, and there will be no known cure for it, and it will disappear as soon as it had come, and then 10 years later it will come back, and then it'll be gone for good.
What was this in?
An almanac.
I'm looking it up. I'm fact checking.
Okay. But like, it's probably not true because like some things on the news, they just make up so they can still be a channel. That's what I think personally.
Yeah. According to Snopes, it's been misattributed. I just said that funny. According to Snopes, it's been misattributed. Let's see. So the page that apparently has been attributed to the Farmer's Almanac is from Sylvia Brown's 2008 book, End of Days. And she's a self-described psychic.
Oh, great.
Oh, no. When we thought they weren't real, they were real.
I still don't think they're real.
Yeah. One told me that I'd find a boyfriend, and I don't have one.
One told me I'd have 5 kids, and I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Just you wait.
Yeah.
You never
I'm not going to have 5 children. I'm not going to have 1 child.
Maybe you'll have 5 young people who you mentor who are like children to you.
Maybe.
Maybe it's just
maybe
twist.
That's what they're...
And maybe you'll have someone like a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll have a boyfriend someday. It said you'd have it by a certain time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, you can pick a card, and I highly doubt that that's going to happen because it's, like, she would have probably told me that she would have known, but she let me pick a card, and she knows what the cards are, so I don't think it's true.
This was a psychic prediction.
Did you do a tarot card thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. And she said, you got the King of Cups. And my mom, she said that she's the boss, even at her own job. And that's not true because she works for a lady and she's kind of the boss, but also not the boss.
Hold on. I may or may not have a tab open on my phone constantly about tarot cards, and I may or may not be going to it right now to figure out what King of Cups means. But according to this, if you pick the card upright, it means emotionally balanced, compassionate, and diplomatic. But reversed, it means self-compassion, inner feelings, moodiness, and emotionally manipulative. And then there's more things about it under it. But if she made you pick a card, then I don't think she was doing the kind of tarot reading that this website is meant for.
Oh,
so I don't know. There are tons of different ways to do it.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
But like, I was happy and excited at first. I was like, yay, I'll get a boyfriend. Someone who will keep me company, because like, I'm the youngest and the rest are at college, and my mom and dad are busy all the time.
Well, maybe you'll find some nice friends, whether boyfriends or otherwise, to keep you company. But now you have all your family at home, right?
Yeah, well, except for my dad, because he works at an Apple factory, and apparently working with apples isn't doing any harm with the virus.
So he's still home, just not at the moment.
Yeah.
Cool. Mashuda is joining
Mashuda,
us.
Yay!
Hello, I'm sorry. I was doing some college stuff and I got, I lost track of time.
That's okay. Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hello, this is Mashuda. I'm a Hudson High School student and I'm 18 years old.
Hooray. We had just gotten started and had talked about the news that school is continuing to be remote for the rest of the school year. And then we talked about some psychic predictions. That's that. Does anyone have a book they would like to talk about or something they've been reading?
I have an interesting thing relating to literature that I can talk about. Well, one, I got a new Wings of Fire book, which differs greatly from all the other ones, and I'm not sure how much I like this difference or not, but for the first time, it's from the perspective of humans. It's the first book that's ever done that, and I'm like, that's interesting, but at the same time, I love these books for the fact that they are unique in that they are from the perspective of dragons. So I'm actually not sure how much I'm going to like this installment of it, but I'm trying to enjoy it. I'm trying to appreciate it for what it is. And as for the other thing, our final project for our creative writing class was posted today. We have to make a portfolio of four of our favorite pieces of work from the school year and reflect on them and talk about what inspired us to create them. So you know, I get to revisit a bunch of my old work.
Yeah, do you know which ones you're going to pick yet?
I know two that are definitely going to go in. I'm not sure what other two will be. You have to put four works in it. So I know that two are definitely going in, but I'm not sure what the other two will be.
Cool. I think Lena wanted to talk about a book too.
Oh, okay.
I thought I saw a hand up. Not that you can see hands on radio.
Yeah, so there's a book that we were assigned to read, which was a Cinderella book, and it was the Chinese version. And so it's different in many ways, but it's really good. So it's like about how, well, I think you guys know how it's kind of about, but the difference is that I'm pretty sure it takes place in China, and she doesn't have a fairy godmother or animals helping her. She has these bones of a fish that she raised that grew really big, and the mother killed the fish so she could cook it for dinner. And so all she has to do is to have the magic activate, is lean over the bones of this fish and say what she wants. She has to kneel down and lean over them. And then the magic happens. and she was informed about this by an old man, and she wanted to ask about a lot of stuff, like how'd he know this? But then before she could say a word, he flew up into the air and poofed. And that's all I get to read. I really wanted to read more.
That's cool. Aren't Amelia and Mashuda reading or writing fairy tales?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I'm rewriting Cinderella. I think, Mashuda, you said last week that you were rewriting Hansel and Gretel.
No, I mean, I feel like I'm not going to rewrite any fairy tale. I don't know. I couldn't, like, I'm changing my mind now. Like, I've been, I don't know. I have to ask Miss Neary if I can, like, write my own fairy tale, like, you know, a different, whole different.
I rewrote a fairy tale one.
Which fairy tale was it?
Which one?
The Three Billy Goats, and they were the five Buffies, I think, because they were all five girls that all had muscles. And then on the way, they met the King of the Ants, which was sort of like the troll, and they and they were on their way to see a wrestling show, which the teacher thought was really funny. And then it turned out that the smallest of all of them defeated it. And then they went to the place, and then they went back home, like the mother said, and then it started all over again because there was another one coming up the same time right afterwards. Well, not the same time, but then the smallest one said, here we go again, and that ends the story.
So, Lena, I had a question for you about your fairy tale that you read. Were the bones and the magic part, was that creepy or was it just light and magical?
It was supposed to be light and magical, and it kind of is to me, but like to other people, it probably isn't, because like I watch a lot of stuff that includes like bones and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because Amelia and Mashuda have been talking about turning fairy tales into creepy stories, or how a lot of fairy tales are creepy in general until they're Disney-fied.
Yeah.
Or if it's just because they're bones. But for some reason, reading about like a fish that died and then she has the bones that like she can make magic out of, it sounded very creepy. But then I was like, maybe I'm just reading into it because of all these other things.
If you read the originals behind a lot of Disney fairy tales, you find some pretty horrific stuff to the point where I honestly sometimes wonder why Disney even approached these stories and were like, yeah, we can make a child-friendly empire out of this. But they did. Somehow they succeeded.
Yeah.
For example, Peter Pan. I'm not going to tell you the original.
I know the
because
original.
It's weird.
I know the original. Yeah. A lot of original fairy tales are just weird or outright horrific.
Fun. Anyways, I think AJ has a book to discuss.
I just recently started Sherlock Holmes, and I'm reading about the red-headed something. I forgot the name because I don't have the book, sadly.
What's it about?
Sherlock Holmes has a new case, and so he worked for a red-headed something, and I think it was society or something. I don't know. And he had to copy straight out of an encyclopedia to make copies, and he was doing fine until the reward, I forgot to tell you, that was like
Redheaded League.
Yes, Redheaded League. Thank you. And it was a few hundred pounds, I think, was the salary. And he was doing fine. He was almost done with the A's. He was going to the B's. And then the day that he went to Sherlock Holmes, it stopped. It said, the Redheaded League has dissolved October 9th, 1998. I'm not sure. And that's all the part that I got up to.
Is it good? Are you enjoying it?
Yes, it's very good.
What's it like? I've never read Sherlock Holmes.
It's funny because he notices everything about everyone who walks in the door and has a new case for him. For example, he noticed that this man wrote a lot, that he came from China, and that the last thing was, oh, I forgot the last thing, but he knew about the writing because she said that his right arm cuff was shiny from rubbing on the paper, and his left shoulder was worn from resting on the table. And he said that he was recently in China because he had a fish tattoo that could not be made anywhere else except in China.
Hmm. Was it a tattoo of that fish from Cinderella? Fish that is no more. Poor fish.
Yeah.
Poor magic bone fish.
I really feel like I should start making like a quote book of things we've said on this show, but out of context, and like magic bone fish would definitely be one of those things.
Yeah.
I wonder
if we get Cowboy Grandpa.
Oh yeah, Cowboy Grandpa. I forgot about him. But that sounds really fun. Are they short stories that you're reading? The Sherlock Holmes ones?
In the series?
Yeah, is it, are they like short stories?
Oh yeah, they're short stories, and in my book there are 3 in one series, and I'm started with the Red Headed League.
Cool.
Every time that I finish a new book, I'm going to wait until the day that it's going to be about my books, and then I'll tell you about what's going to happen next.
Got it. Yeah, I like a good mystery, but I've never read Sherlock Holmes. I don't know why. Maybe someday. Maybe I'll let you read them all and then tell me which one's the absolute best must read.
Maybe.
Maybe. I'll let, make you do all the hard work. Ashuda, did you have any book or?
No. Honestly, I didn't read. I couldn't read any books because I've been so busy. So it's just that I was just wondering. I mean, like, we're actually experiencing history, basically. So I was just wondering if we were to make a documentary, you know, it could be like, it's like, you know, I tried going outside like last week and it feels so different.
Yeah.
In our school, like, we are doing a time capsule on, like, you know, recording the moments because, you know, it's
ridiculous.
What do you think you would put in the time capsule?
So there was one question was like, what do you recommend people watching? Like, what news? And I said, like, I recommend people to watch CNN because, you know, I feel like I really trust CNN. It's reliable. And it's like, you know, like other news, they have like this big paper. So like they put this paper, I don't know, I noticed it and it kind of annoys me. Like they put that paper in front and I feel like they have it memorized. And when they're telling the news and they look at the paper, you get what I'm saying? Like they have a paper in front of them. I mean, they lay it down.
Yeah. You mean other people read the paper?
Oh, no, like other news.
Yeah. I would think CNN anchors probably also read, but they're reading off of a teleprompter. I think most news people do. I think it's pretty common. But I personally think CNN tends to be fairly reliable as a news source. I mean, any news agency gets things wrong occasionally or misreports something, but they seem pretty reliable to me as well.
I mean, I guess like the news anchor for CNN, they sound less like it's less memorized than you know, other news channel.
Sure.
What did you recommend, Amelia?
I don't know if I did the recommendation portion of the assignment. I think I chose something else. I think I made it like an artifact or something. I think I painted a rock.
That's nice.
Cool. Yeah.
We can put all our masks in once we're we're done with them. I think for things to watch too, I find it pretty interesting seeing how some of the TV shows are responding, the ones that aren't, you know, there's some TV shows that were recorded long ago and so they look the same as they would anytime, but then there's shows like American Idol or like the late night comedy shows. I'm trying to think what other ones. Saturday Night Live, I guess that's a late night comedy, but I was thinking talk shows, but some of them are incorporating video conferencing into their shows.
Yeah,
and I think I find that very interesting.
And yeah. Amelia, can you believe that it's May, like, 4th now? So, like, we only have 1 month to graduate.
I know.
Yeah, I'm so excited, like, to see what they have for us, like, online graduation and everything. It's new, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do everything they can to make it special for you guys.
And I wonder, like, are we going to wear our cap and gown? Because we got our measurement with Miss Kaiser, but I don't know. I just wonder.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like they could send them to you.
Yeah.
Do you think you would decorate your cap? Is that something that people do still?
I think that's a college thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it in high school, and I didn't do it in college.
Oh.
That's interesting. My high school one was, like, covered. of like pictures and like a collage.
It's funny.
Yeah.
When did you got your copy cap and gown? Did you get it earlier, like in May?
Oh, I don't remember. I went to high school a really long time ago. Oh.
I'm just asking because I'm anxious. I don't know when I'm gonna get it.
Yeah, I don't remember. My guess is it's pretty close to graduation that you get them, but I don't know.
How do you feel about it, Amelia?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot. Still pretty new too.
Do you have a book to share?
Me?
Yeah.
I do. I had a few books I could have shared, but I decided to share this one for Lena. Lena, look what I finally read. Yay!
Oh my God, yes!
I decided to finally read Ghosts by Raina Telgemeier, which is one of Lena's, if not Lena's, favorite book.
Yes, it is.
I think we both talked about this book and other Raina Telgemeier books many times on the show because we love her. And this one, for some reason, I never read. And so I decided to finally take it out. So Ghosts by Raina Telgemeier is about, the main character's name is Katrina, and she and her family move up to the coast to Northern California because her sister Maya is sick. She has cystic fibrosis. And they're hoping that she'll benefit from the change in climate in Northern California. So they move to a place called Bahia de la Luna, and they're sort of finding their way around. And then one of their neighbors lets them in on a secret, which is that there are ghosts in Bahia de la Luna. And Kat seems to both not quite believe in ghosts, but also doesn't really want to believe in ghosts because she is scared. But her younger sister Maya is like determined that she's going to meet a ghost. And it's all sort of leading up to the Day of the Dead, which is a holiday when you honor the deceased and set up an offering to them and sort of celebrate their lives. Mm-hmm. And Maya's very excited to celebrate the holiday and makes an ofrenda for their grandmother and is hoping to be able to meet her grandmother. And you sort of start to realize along the way that part of the reason that Maya wants to meet a ghost and is determined to meet a ghost is that she's worried about if she were to die, what would life be like for her? What is that like to die? What is the experience? And so it's in part her way of wanting to feel better about that possibility. And similarly, Kat is both scared of ghosts, but also is scared of losing her sister. So there's some nice moments between the sisters. And then it's also, you know, has the sort of fun nature of Raina Telgemeier's work.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, you get to learn a little bit about Day of the Dead.
Speaking of Day of the Dead, who knows what tomorrow is? What tomorrow is?
Oh, Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. Cinco de Mayo. I'm excited for tomorrow.
What do you do to celebrate, Lena?
We eat. We cook and we eat. Oh, and sometimes we play games. And new thing that we do is that we go to online school.
You go to online school to celebrate?
Yes. No. Interesting. Something that I'm forced to do.
You should be like, I can't go to school today. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite foods that you eat on Cinco de Mayo, or do you change up what you eat every year?
Honestly, I don't really know because I think we started celebrating it last year. But like, I'm pretty sure we have tamales. We're going to have tamales, and tamales are good.
That sounds good. That's another thing in Ghosts, that there's a lot of food in Ghosts.
Yes, it makes you hungry.
Yeah, Kat keeps trying new foods that are mostly Mexican foods. You don't always know exactly what it is, and she doesn't often say what it is, but you can tell that she like tries something and is like, this is good. That makes you hungry for some tasty Mexican food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have anything coming up this week that they're excited about?
I do.
What do you have?
Cinco de Mayo. I get to eat all I want.
Nice.
My family doesn't celebrate Cinco de Mayo or Day of the Dead because those are Mexican holidays, but we are Puerto Rican.
Anything else exciting or things you're looking forward to reading?
More of the Chinese Cinderella. That's something that I'm looking forward to.
Seems fun. I'm reading a nice book right now.
What is it?
It's called The Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James by Ashley Herring Blake. And I've been listening to it, and it's very good. So I'm excited to keep reading that. And then I have a couple adult thriller books that I want to read.
Ooh.
So I haven't read a good thriller in a long time.
Oh.
Those are fun. How about you, AJ?
I don't know. It's just now we're so, it's like we have so much to do, but we don't have anything to do. It's weird.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah, it's hard thinking of, like, usually there's, like, events that you're excited about. Now that's a little stranger. There's still some events, but they're all online events for the most part, and they all kind of blend together. But there is a special day coming up, and I want to give everyone out there listening a reminder so that you don't forget. It's Mother's Day on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So, Sunday?
It's that.
Celebrate all of our favorite mothers in the world.
Yay.
Yay. Thanks, moms.
Yeah.
Moms are important. Wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah.
Since the book fair is canceled this year, maybe for once I will be able to read all the ones I got from last year before buying hundreds of dollars worth of more.
Yeah,
it's a sad positive aspect of that, but
I just read a book by one of the BookFest authors that I'll talk about next week.
Yay.
I did that this past weekend in honor of the BookFest, and also because I wanted to read it.
I might finally read Star-Crossed by Barbara Dee. It's a short little book, and I really have wanted to read it for a while, but I just have not gotten a chance to.
Yeah, it looks really sweet.
It looks so cute. I can't wait to read it.
All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time for today. So I hope everyone has a great week, reads lots of good books.
Mm-hmm.
Stay safe and healthy. And entertained, and happy Cinco de Mayo, although by the time this radio show broadcasts, it will be in the past. I hope you had a good Cinco de Mayo, and happy Mother's Day.
Yay.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 This is John Perry of The Only Ones, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter, Executive Director of Wave Farm. Our programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC sustaining supporters who provide critical monthly support to keep WGXC 90.7 FM on the air. Thank you for listening.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sheena Salvino of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 7th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. A decision on the fate of 700,000 so-called Dreamers could come down as soon as today from the U.S. Supreme Court. The case examines whether the Trump administration lawfully terminated the DACA program in 2017. Since then, courts have allowed current DACA recipients to renew their work permits, but new applications ground to a halt.
Lisa Dalla with the immigration group called Forward U.S. says it would be cruel to start deporting people brought here as kids, many of whom have no memory of any other country.
Immigration officers will now be able to pursue their removal. We will see this population end up in immigration detention. We will see them being ripped away from their families in what is another wave of the family separation crisis.
The acting ICE director has said his agency will uphold the rule by deporting Dreamers if the Supreme Court ends the program. Indianapolis has the sixth largest concentration of DACA recipients in the country. A new program bringing nurses on furlough from upstate hospitals to New York City to help out at understaffed hospitals in what has been the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic.
While nursing staff at many New York City hospitals have been pushed to the breaking point, hospitals upstate are cutting staff. In response, the New York State Nurses Association has launched the Upstate COVID Nurse Corps to deploy nurses to hospitals that need additional staff. According to Sean Petty, a nurse at Jacoby Hospital in the Bronx, they are most desperately needed in the smaller community hospitals that treat some of the city's most vulnerable populations.
It'd be a huge help to those nurses, to those hospitals, and more importantly, those communities, because ultimately, who suffers are the communities, are the patients being cared for there.
So far, more than 120 nurses have volunteered for the Upstate COVID Nurse Corps. The first nurses were deployed this week to a hospital on Staten Island. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And many small businesses in Ohio have seen their revenue drop by 80% or more during the pandemic lockdown. And since necessity is the mother of invention, many have embraced new ways to stay afloat.
Kevin Boehner, director of the Ohio Small Business Council, says the stay-at-home order choked off the flow of customers in March and April.
The biggest issue that I hear is cash flow, but there's a myriad of issues, so it just depends on the type of small business.
Small businesses employ more than 45% of Ohio's workforce. Governor Mike DeWine's three-phase plan to restart Ohio's economy began May 1st, but it remains unclear how long each phase will be or when businesses can fully reopen. This story was produced with support from the George Gund Foundation and original reporting from Maria McGinnis at Kent State University. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is PNS. A parade of cars going to Rome, New Haven, Connecticut tomorrow, blasting out tunes, part of an event to draw attention to the census. The 2020 census is underway. But because of the pandemic, outreach workers have to think outside the box. Bianca Bowles is with the Community Action Agency of New Haven.
Pumping up like basically a parade style, but coming to the neighborhood, making people socially aware, but having them dance on their porch to make sure that they're encouraged and enthusiastic about this.
As you probably know, the census is used to divvy up federal dollars and award congressional seats, so any undercount could cost a state big time. Youth detention in Maryland down by nearly a third since the COVID-19 pandemic struck, matching a national trend.
A new survey from the Annie E. Casey Foundation finds that the number of people in detention has fallen 24% in 30 states since March. Mark Schindler with the Justice Policy Institute notes that in Maryland, the percentage of black youths detained since March has also declined from more than 75% to almost 60%. He says this is a positive step in a state that has the nation's highest number of African American youths in prison.
This is clearly a social justice issue when we talk about African-American youth being incarcerated or not. And so we should be very mindful of the justice system acting in ways that doesn't exacerbate negative implications for African-American youth and their families.
Last week, Maryland officials released about 200 youths from detention facilities in response to court rulings calling for the need to keep kids safe during the pandemic. I'm Diane Bernard.
Finally, Eric Lattis tells us as the oil and gas industry braces for more pain because of falling demand and a glutted market, 31 oil and gas producing states, including Nebraska, are asking the Trump administration to put unemployed oil and gas workers back to work, cleaning up abandoned well sites.
With Congress also looking for ways to get people back to work, Kate Kelly with the Center for American Progress says an investment in plugging orphan wells will pay off down the road.
a natural place to start is to create a dedicated fund to clean up orphan wells that will put hundreds and thousands of people back to work with minimal training and with minimal relocation.
Wells that are not plugged frequently leak methane and can contaminate groundwater. Kelly says they also create safety hazards. In Ohio, an elementary school had to be evacuated because of a gas leak traced to an abandoned well under the gym. Industry groups have noted that most wells are not abandoned and are plugged by oil and gas companies. I'm Eric Galatas.
It is projected a $2 billion orphan well fund could support 14,000 to 24,000 jobs in energy-producing states. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Talking with Jasmine Gripper, who is the executive director of Alliance for Quality Education, which works to improve the quality of our schools and also ensure adequate funding for our school system. Jasmine, I guess I'll start off with one question. You know, we had the state budget, but then the governor has made adjustments because of the shortfall in revenues. How did that impact upon the school funding situation?
Yeah, so the governor passed a budget in April 1 where he flat funded schools, which means there was $0 increase in aid to schools. And I think it's important to note here that the federal government actually gave New York $1.1 billion in the CARES Act funding for K to 12 education. And what the governor did in the enacted budget is that he basically, like, schools that were supposed to receive that money will not see it at all. He basically made a cut in the school aid formula called the pandemic adjustment, cutting $1.1 billion from high need school districts, and then used the Federal CARES Act money to plug that hole. And so schools got $0 of increase in the enacted budget. And now the governor is proposing that he might make a 20% cut to school districts going forward, especially if we don't get enough additional federal aid from the federal government. And so he hasn't proposed any specific cuts or said how he will make cuts. He's just currently threatening 20% cuts across the board to education, healthcare, and local governments if we don't get enough help from the federal government.
One of the issues the governor recently announced, we're not going to reopen the schools during the current school year, but he announced that he was bringing on the Gates Foundation to help advise, you know, how we're going to restart the schools in the future. Obviously been a lot of controversy about that. You know, what was sort of, you know, your group's reaction to the idea about bringing the Gates Foundation on board to help run our schools and reopen them?
Yeah, we find this partnership really problematic. If the governor wants to make a plan about how to reopen New York schools, instead of talking to billionaires at the Gates Foundation, how about he talks to New Yorkers who are in our schools every day? He should be talking to our teachers. He should talk to the students, and he should be talking to parents. The people on the ground who have frontline experience need to inform how we move forward as a state. The other reason why we're alarmed by this partnership with the Gates Foundation is that we know that billionaires like the Gates Foundation often promote a privatization agenda that really works to uproot and destroy our public schools. We know that technology has a place in our classrooms and it's a tool to aid in learning, but technology in itself will not replace the interaction students need with educators in order to have a high quality learning environment. We don't want this to be seen as a moment for disaster capitalism. We saw how in New Orleans, after Hurricane Katrina, overnight, they made a decision not to reopen the public schools in New Orleans. And now they have an all charter school district and lots of problems that have resulted in that. We want to make sure we're protecting our public schools. We want to make sure we're putting our children first. And the governor should be taking advice from New Yorkers who are on the ground in our education system every day and not going to Bill Gates.
Now, maybe this is a small point, but I thought there was a board of regents that oversaw our...
Exactly, yes. the New York State Board of Regents, who is made up of educators who have been in our system, who represent the entire state of New York. We have regents who represent New York by the area. So like there's one for Western New York, for, you know, downstate in New York City, and every place in between. And then we have at-large regent members who represent the entire state. And our Board of Regents, they come from our school districts. They're often former superintendents, former principals, and former educators, educational advisors. These are the ones who should be setting education policy for New York State and not the Gates Foundation.
And how did the, you know, various teachers union, you know, NYSERD and UFT react to this?
Yeah, there's been huge blowback across the board. I want to say universally, from the teachers unions to the school boards associations to the principals unions, everyone is deeply alarmed by this partnership and calling out Cuomo for talking to the wrong people over and over again. We do not need him to be the governor of New York's billionaires. We need him to tax the billionaires so that we can have our money to fund our schools. And we should be driving policy from the experts who are on the ground.
Now, you know, one of the things I was a little bit surprised today, just following Twitter and the governor's, you know, daily press conference, was that he seemed not to value the idea that children and teachers would go into a school and actually sort of interact. It was sort of like, you know, our whole world is going online in the future. So, you know, maybe we should just be moving to, you know, a more just ongoing system of remote learning. And that didn't seem particularly useful for teachers or students.
That is extremely problematic. We all are now experiencing a time where we're doing lots of Zoom calls and online meetings. And when we struggle with adults to remember to mute your phone or to mute your line, could you imagine a Zoom call with 35-year-olds in kindergarten to have a productive classroom? Like, that is not real learning. That is not authentic learning. And it's not the way it could take place. In fact, research actually shows the opposite, that children who are high need, students who need the most support, do not do well with online learning. They actually need the in-person support in order to make up for the learning gaps that they have. We know we need to reimagine education going forward in this post-pandemic society, preventing a future outbreak. But we want to reimagine education with smaller class sizes. We still want to go back to school. We still want to learn together. We want to imagine a school with more counselors and more support staff and not less. And I think the issue here is that the governor knows, like we know, that those things are going to cost more money. And he's been really stingy when it comes to funding our public schools. And he really needs to invest in education so that our schools have the resources that they need so that children can come back and have a robust learning environment with their teachers and with their peers.
So, you know, since there has been so much blowback since the governor made this announcement, has he sort of reached out to, you know, advocates like your group and to the teachers union and say, hey, okay, I hear you. Let's sit down and figure this out.
We welcome the governor reaching out, but it's something he has yet to do. I have no idea to the teachers union. We've seen his staff, you know, backpedaling on Twitter, saying that's not what the governor meant. You know, schools will reopen. But honestly, when it comes to public schools, we don't have a faith or trust that this governor, and his instinct is to do the right thing. We can't remember a last time that he actually visited a public school in New York. He has no idea what's happening in our schools and for our students. He looks at this as a dollar and cents issue, and that's it. And our children are more than dollar and cents. They are human beings who have a constitutional right to a sound basic education, and the governor needs to make sure New York State is meeting that standard.
So we have about a minute left or so. So how do we move forward with this issue? How is your group going to try to, you know, engage with the governor? And you know, what should parents and even students be doing at this point to raise their voices?
Yeah, we're planning next week, likely on Monday, to do a whole reimagining education online visioning session where we're going to just tweet at the governor. We're going to contact him on Facebook. Since he wants to talk to billionaires and not us, we're going to make sure we talk to him. So we are sending out emails to the governor today. We're going to be all over his social media on Monday. We want to make sure he hears from real New Yorkers what we want to see in our schools, and not that he's talking to New York's billionaires. We're going to follow this issue closely. There's supposed to be an entire task force. We're looking to see who's going to be named on this task force. And again, we want to hold Governor Cuomo accountable for actually representing New York students and children and families, and not to be Governor 1% who's only looking after the interests of New York's ultra-rich and billionaires.
So we've been talking with Jasmine Gripper, Executive Director of Lines of Quality Education. This is Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. Very quickly, Jasmine, if people want to go to your website, follow you on Twitter, how best can they keep in touch?
Sure. Our website is aqeny.org, aqeny.org. And you can find us on all social media at aqe_ny.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent